Mein heutiger Gast im Antenne 1 Star Podcast ist Benjamin Ingrosso. Ja, als ich den Namen zum ersten Mal gehört habe, habe ich erst gedacht, ist das vielleicht der von Axwell Ingrosso? Meine Vermutung war zwar falsch, aber immerhin lag ich in der Familie richtig. Benjamins Cousin ist Sebastian Ingrosso und sehr, sehr erfolgreicher Produzent und DJ. Er ist zum Beispiel Teil der Swedish House Mafia. Naja, Benjamin Ingrosso ist jedenfalls auch auf dem besten Weg, so ein großer Superstar zu werden. In Schweden, da kommt er her, ist das nämlich schon. Er räumt da gerade einen Award nach dem anderen ab und möchte jetzt auch in anderen Ländern seine Wurzeln schlagen. Im Podcast sprechen Benjamin und ich darüber, wie er denn zur Musik gekommen ist. Wir sprechen über seine Familie, die absolut musikalisch ist. Ja, außerdem geht es natürlich um seine Musik und seine aktuelle Single Kite und er erzählt uns, was er sich so alles für dieses Jahr vorgenommen hat. Es war ein wirklich sehr, sehr schönes Gespräch, finde ich. Ich hoffe, ihr genießt es auch. Ich wünsche euch ganz viel Spaß mit Benjamin Ingrosso.
Ihr hört den Antenne 1 Star Podcast.
Hallo.
Hallo. We say the same in Swedish.
Hallo.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
Hallo. 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 Benjamin Ingrosso is here.
Exactly.
I'm so happy to have you.
Thanks
Welcome.
For having me. I'm so glad. And finally to be in Stuttgart.
Is it your first time in Stuttgart?
No, I've been here before.
Where have you been?
So my best friend, Erik Beck, he's from Reutlingen.
Ah.
So we used to spend a lot of time here in Stuttgart when I was younger.
Really?
With his Oma and Opa. She used to make me Maultaschen and the best Spätzle you can ever have.
No
with goulash.
Way.
And then for breakfast we had Bretzel with the Lione.
Yeah.
And you know, it was a blast and it's beautiful here. I love this
That's
city.
So funny. Yeah. So you basically grew up half Schwäbisch. This is what
yeah,
we call
exactly,
the region.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Schwäbisch. That's the accent as well, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. And we spent time in, we had a great day in Metzingen.
Yeah.
Metzingen.
Metzingen where the big outlet is.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And then he forced me to say this sentence that I won't say here, but it was,
please,
he told me we were like 12 years old and he told me if you go to girls and say this, they will, you're saying to them that they look good or you love them.
Tell me.
So I said, ich habe Durchfall.
And, oh, wow.
And they started laughing. I was like, Eric, this is not what it means, right? No, it means I have diarrhea.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you like the region.
I love it.
And you've been traveling a lot through Germany the last couple of days, right? So how's Germany treating you?
Very, very well. Like I love this country and I think it's beautiful. And, you know, coming from Berlin that has its own vibe, very like gritty and artsy in its way. And then you come to places like this where it's just like green and beautiful and sunny. And like we went to Baden-Baden yesterday and it was for real the most, the cleanest city I've ever been to. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, how can it be this clean?
I can't tell you why, because it's only rich people living there.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's the answer. No, but like, it's everywhere we go. It's very clean and people are so nice and the food is great. It's very heavy, but it's the same in Sweden. So I feel like home when I'm here.
Wow, beautiful. What's the most popular food to eat in Sweden?
I think it would probably be meatballs.
Okay.
With gravy and mashed potatoes and lingonberries.
Lingonberries?
Yeah. With the,
not these köttbullar?
Oh, köttbullar, exactly.
Ah, there.
Meatballs.
Yeah.
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 So we got the meatballs and then we have, you know, we have Wallenbergare, Befriedberg. We have tons of food.
I don't understand a word.
It's pretty similar to the German food, actually. You know?
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. So you basically feel like home here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful. Let's start with getting to know you a bit better. You're from Sweden.
I'm from Sweden.
And
half Italian from Sweden.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's new to me.
Yeah, so I have roots in Taranto, which is the south of Italy.
Do you speak Italian?
I speak a bit.
Oh, cool.
Just a bit. I won't speak Italian.
Okay, so the next thing on the list is German then. Or not,
exactly.
Even better, Swabian.
Yes, Swabian.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah.
But you are a musician, a fabulous musician. Like
Thank
we
you
were
so
just
much.
Able to hear.
Yeah.
You played a little unplugged session for us. And I really want to know how this all started.
Well, it started in 1997. No, I was born in 97 in Stockholm, Sweden, by a mom and a dad who's both artists and songwriters, dancers. I come from this huge family of musicians and actors and artists and stuff. So I basically grew up in a musical house, basically. You know, I learned to play the piano myself when I was 8, 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And I started very very early to do. I released my first song when I was 9.
And, oh my God.
Yeah, and it became like a huge hit. And ever since, I've been trying to write another hit after that, basically. No. But so I've been in this industry for a very long time, almost 20 years. And then, you know, thankfully enough, been able to work with the best thing that I know, which is music. So it feels like I'm just living my dream every day.
Oh, so you said you come from a musical family, and yeah. I did some reading and I read that your mom or your aunt, I don't know, they were participating at the Eurovision Song Contest, right?
Both of them.
Both.
Or like my mom, she's been in the, that's where she like break through when she was 16 in the the Swedish version of Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah.
And her background dancer was my dad. So that's how they met.
Oh, wow.
And then like my ex-aunt, if you can say that, because her name is Charlotte Pirelli, and she got married to my uncle. So, and she won the Eurovision Song Contest like 1999, I think.
Yeah.
So it's, we have a lot of the Swedish Eurovision Song Contest is very much a family thing. Family thing, yeah.
Because you were there too.
Because I was there too, yeah.
Tell us about it. How was this experience?
I won the Swedish Eurovision 6 years ago, maybe 2018.
18, right?
Yeah. And then I represented my country in Portugal, Lisbon. And it was fun. It was an experience for sure. I was 21. So I think if I would have done it today, it would have been much more fun and not, I took it a bit too serious, I think. And I had a lot of like weight on my shoulders to represent your country at that age. And I think music wise, I'm also much more confident in my music now and as a performer. Especially as an entertainer. And when I was younger, I loved to be on stage. I was on stage all the time and I loved to perform. But then you become a teenager and you get some self-doubt and people say bad, you know, not nice things to you on social media. So you kind of like lose your confidence and you lose the way of like enjoy yourself on stage. So I think last 2 years has been the best years of my life because I finally found that little Benjamin who just loves to perform again. So it's going to be very fun to be on my first European tour this year.
We're going to talk about that later. Let's stick like, to Eurovision.
Oh yeah, sure.
For one more question. Are you still watching it? Because it's on in like a couple months, I think.
Exactly, yeah. Now it's happening in Sweden, the pre-festival.
Yeah.
So now we are looking at who's going to win and represent us in Eurovision, but Eurovision is in Sweden this year, so of course I'm looking at it every Saturday, and I'm very excited to watch the Eurovision Song Contest this year.
Did you think of signing up again this year?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like prefer competing when it comes to music.
Okay.
Because music is all about taste and what you think personally. And I love to watch the show, and you know, as I could 100% consider myself being like a what do you call it? Mellanakt.
What is that?
What is Mellanakt in Swedish? In English. Like you know, perform as a number in between the competition. Like I could see myself perform on that stage, but not compete.
I see.
If you know what I mean.
Yes, yeah. I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the festival and the show itself is amazing, but just the fact to like you know have to compete and people voting for you, that's something I'd rather not do.
Okay.
But if there's a window of me performing on that show, I would not say no.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, but when I was when I was listening to your current single, which is called Kite, I was like, this would totally win. This would totally win, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
And then I was watching some of your live videos, like live shows, and this is like, that was insane.
Oh, thank you.
Where is all this energy from?
Oh, it's, I don't know, actually. I must have ADHD, I think, because I have tons of energy all the time.
Yeah.
And the people around me, they ask me very nicely to just make me shut up sometimes because I'm always loud and I always dance and I always have a story to tell, you know. So I think when I walk up on stage, that's when I'm the most me.
Okay.
Yeah. And it depends on the audience as well, but I've been lucky enough to have an amazing audience since the last 2 years. So I just love to perform. I love to entertain. I love to see people, you know, get excited or cry or just like see in their eyes how they, you know, just disappear into my world for a few minutes.
That is so beautiful.
Thanks.
And the single Kite is really like make for the stage.
Yeah.
This is like, why don't we listen to it first and then we'll talk about it.
I would love to.
Here it is. Like energetic, it's fun, it's like vibing, it's I get a good mood.
I usually say that it's a slap in the face, but in a good way, you know. Like you wake up when you hear the song.
True That fits well. But tell us what it is about.
So Kite is about that feeling you get when you fall in love with something or someone, and you just like you disappear into heaven for a while, and you get high as a kite. So that's the playing with words. If you know what a kite is.
Yeah, it's like this, in German it's called Drachen, I think.
Yeah, dragon. Yeah, so it's the same in Swedish, almost. So it's like you fly a kite, and it's high up in the sky. So it's, you know, when you get high, you're high as a kite.
Oh, yeah,
you
know? Okay.
Yeah.
And when did you get the idea, or how did the song come about?
The song came about in London last year. I had a session with two of my friends, Anya and John, and we wanted to write something quirky and something like something that I haven't done before. And I think usually when I wrote songs back 2 years ago, I wanted it to sound perfect, and I wanted my vocals to sound like super clean, and I was very like you know, I wanted it to sound like musical wise super clean in a way. And now I just wanted to have fun, so I was like, just wanted to have fun with the melodies and be a bit more quirky. So instead of like, don't think I've tried, I was like, don't think I've tried this one before, you know. And then doing the falsetto parts, like, it could be so easy. Just having fun when I wrote the song, basically. I had a lot of fun when I wrote it.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But you just played it for us, unplugged. Yeah. And this was a total different version.
Total different version, yeah.
We are going to listen to that now.
Amazing.
This is like really soft, and it is more the perfect thing, not
more the perfect
quirky
vibe.
Thing, but the perfect vibe.
Yeah, but I think that the quirky thing works with the production, because the production is very like dirty and gritty and like hits you in the face. And you know, a good song for me is when you can have a pop song that sounds super like pop and uplifting, and then you can just play it on the guitar or the piano, and it sounds as good as the like the studio version, but it can sound different. And that's what makes a good song for me. So that's me saying that Kite is a good song, I guess. No, but I love when you can, you know, transpose the song into transfer the song from a pop song into like a ballad, and it still works. That's the goal as a songwriter, I guess.
Well, then a job is done.
Perfect. Thank you, Shirin.
Let's see. You played another song for us.
Yeah,
this is not released yet, right?
No, it's not. It's not.
Can we still put it on the podcast before it is released?
You're more than welcome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So tell us about this song. What is it called?
It's called Better Days, and it's the first song that I wrote for the upcoming album. I wrote it 3 years ago, and I sat by the piano, and I had this idea of like, because the studio version of this song is totally different from what the acoustic version is. It's more of a like a super energetic up-tempo pop song with the piano go like, so I had this idea of doing a lighter pop version of the AC/DC Thunderstruck. I'm not a rock guy, but I just heard that when I was younger, like, and I wanted to do something backwards, like, but then I took, instead of a guitar, I had the piano, and I wrote it, and then we finished it like a week ago. Yeah, but the song is about, you know, it's a pretty dark world we're living in at the moment. So it's about seeing that it might be better and that you are hopeful that it can be better. So it's like, you know, I see them better days ahead and we're going to make it there, I swear. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Word.
Word.
Definitely.
And you have to, I think we need some positive vibes mm-hmm. in this world at
true.
The moment.
True, true. So the version you just presented to us was, to me, no, we will listen to it first and then we'll talk about it.
Amazing.
Here it is.
I see them better days ahead. We're gonna make it there. We're gonna make it there. Say, ooh, I feel my better days ahead. We're gonna make it there. Yeah,
so to me, it sounded a little like a bossa nova kind of thing,
okay.
which was beautiful.
Wow.
Don't you think so?
With
this guitar, this like
maybe.
Little acoustic guitar.
Maybe the guitar does make it sound a bit bossa nova. I haven't thought about that.
That was just
but
my feeling.
If you
but
take that as a good thing, then
yes,
then
absolutely,
then I'm
I love
fine.
It.
Yeah.
But your promoter just told me that the original version will be like with a full band and
stuff.
Yeah,
100%. I can play it to you after we recorded the podcast.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So when will it be out?
It will be out very, very soon. I promise you, very soon.
Okay.
Yeah. So you will not have to wait that long.
We will keep our ears and eyes open.
Oh, thank you.
Beautiful. So you just said there will be an album.
Yeah.
When?
I kind of spoiled that, didn't I?
Yeah.
This year.
Okay.
This year. And it's an album that I've been working on for a year now, I think. And album nowadays, you know, it's just a bunch of songs basically put together. But this album is meant to be listened from start to finish. And then, of course, you can listen to the last song first if you want.
Yeah.
But I kind of want people to listen to it from start to finish. And because it's a journey. You will hear, you know.
I love that.
And, you know, after a song, there might be some hidden, like, you know, a hidden track during the last seconds of the song. So I think it's fun to, you know, just play the song from the start and then see what happens.
Oh, I'm excited. Yeah. Is it like when you, like the end of the song is the start of the new song? Is it like that?
Might be.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's like a radio station.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. So you already have some albums out, but I saw most of them are in Swedish.
Yeah. So I released two studio albums in Swedish and two in English.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've had two acoustic albums and two live albums. So I've done...
This is like crazy because you're like, what, 27?
26.
26.
Yeah.
Wow.
I told
insane.
You, I've been in this industry for a long time.
Yes, indeed.
But this is that's what's so nice about this job that I have is that you always evolve and you always feel like you're getting better and better. And for me to come here to Germany, now it feels like I'm young again. It feels like I'm 14 and doing this for the first time.
Yeah.
And I think it's the perfect time for me to be here because now I feel so much more calm and confident in what I do, which
Beautiful.
Is the perfect thing to be in, like the perfect state in my life at the moment. So I'm enjoying my time.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So when you finish a song, artists usually show them to some close friends or... Do you show them to your mom and your aunt?
I show them to my whole freaking family and my friends and all of them until they get so tired of it that when the song comes out, they're like, oh no, now I have to stream it also because he wants me to stream it. No, but like, I think for this album, I've actually decided to not play it for too many people
mm-hmm.
because I'm also very like, you know, my dad is my kind of like a mentor sometimes and he can be so picky. Like, you have to work on this song more. It's not good enough. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Is he a musician too?
Yeah, he's a composer and a songwriter from back in the 80s. But like, my whole family are musicians and mm-hmm. actors and artists. So they know what they like and they know what they don't like. And sometimes a song that I really think is good, my mom can be like, I don't get this song. And then you just have to like not listen to her and be like, okay, but it's because you're old. No, but like, you know, it's, but now it's like my baby brother, he's 17.
Yeah.
He's not into music at all, but
what?
He plays the drums for fun, but
okay.
He goes to school and you know, the young people in his school, they listen to the top 50 charts and they know what's, you know, popping, if you know what I mean. So I started to play my songs for him, and he can be like, this song will not work. This song will work. Like he's a bit of an A&R to me now because he knows what the young folks want.
Right.
But then,
he's not looking at it from the professional.
No, not at all. Just as a normal guy
who
goes to school and listen to music with his friends at parties.
Yeah.
So that's good. But then also at the end of the day, I had to listen to my heart and my stomach. And
true.
If I love a song that I will not care if anyone else in my family do not like it, I will release it anyway.
True.
Yeah.
So you said your whole family is somehow musical.
Yeah.
Is there any connection to Axwell and Grosso?
Yeah, that's my cousin.
That's your cousin?
Yeah, so Sebastian is my cousin.
Ah, yeah. Because first when I was reading that you were coming,
oh yeah,
I was like, Benjamin and Grosso, okay, wait, is that this Axwell and Grosso? Ah. And he's doing his solo thing?
Yeah,
and I was listening to the song and I'm like, nah.
That can't be.
No, that can't be him.
So Sebastian and Grosso is my cousin, and he's also, and Axwell and Grosso are part of Swedish House Mafia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Swedish House Mafia. I used to listen to that when I was younger and partying, like back
they
in,
were, they
I
were
don't
huge.
Know.
Back in 2012.
Right. When I was like 15 or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
So it's fun. And then the funny thing is I have still roots in Italy, and my cousin Diodato is like a huge artist in Italy, and he won the Sanremo Festival. So he represented Italy in Eurovision like 3 years ago. And I met him for the first time since I was 5 years old last week in Milano.
No
so
way.
It was also like crazy to have, you know, artists not just in Sweden, but in Italy as well. So it's from my family. So it's very fun. It's just...
That sounds amazing. And I can only imagine the family
the
festivities.
Sunday dinner?
Yeah. Yeah, this must be crazy.
They're pretty crazy.
Who's in charge for the music?
Oof. I think we switch, you know. My sister plays her music, or not the music that she does, but like she plays her vibe. And then I come with the, like, I play my songs.
What is your vibe? What is your music that you listen to privately?
I actually listen to like classical music.
Yeah?
Yeah, like film scores and stuff like that.
Nice.
Because I that's what I love. And then I listen to a lot of 70s music. But then, you know, I can love modern music today as well. But when I'm not like working, I love to just play instrumental music to call my calm my brain.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Right. What are your further plans for the year? There will be an album.
And there will be a European tour.
European tour.
Yeah. And then I will be on Scandinavian tour this summer, which is on a bigger scale,
nice.
Which I can't wait for both of the tours, because the first tour here in Europe will be like super, a bit smaller and dirty and like super energetic with five of my band. And then in summer we'll be on much more, you know, bigger stages with, we're 12 in the band this summer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
12 people?
Yeah. So it will be massive.
Ah,
and I will do my biggest arena tour or arena show in Stockholm, that, you know, I've been driving past that arena for my whole life, and now this summer I will have my own concert there, which is insane.
Wow.
And it's outside, so we will hopefully have, you know,
are you gonna fly around like Pink?
No, I'm not gonna fly around like a Superman, but I will definitely, or I'm looking at my manager, I will probably have some fireworks. He's like, expensive.
But 12 people on stage. Is it all like musicians?
No, in
or
the audience. No, I'm just kidding.
No, is it all musicians or also dancers?
No, they're all musicians.
Wow. Yeah.
And singers, and, you know, it's fun.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I saw you're not coming to Stuttgart.
I'm not.
Not
next year, maybe.
Yeah. Please.
Or
please
maybe
come.
I will come next year.
Yeah, you will come.
Yeah, and I will
Word
have my
again.
Spätzle.
Yes, you will get your Spätzle and Maultaschen and whatever you like. Perfect.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Der Star-Podcast bei Antenne 1.